Hello, welcome to the Open Source on Sunny Govan Radio. My name is Bob Hamilton. This is one of a series of wee programmes to encourage the listener to think about different ideas. Today's topic is the People's Manifesto. Today, amid the global phenomenon of occupation protest and uprising against austerity cuts and bank bailouts, we introduce the People's Manifesto project. We can't just keep protesting until things get better. We need to start planning the new society. The following is an excerpt of how the manifesto could help towards this process. The inspiration for this came in a visit by a few Glaswegians to Detroit to speak to and film activists working in the community around Detroit's city farms. We had been particularly interested in the work of Grace Lee Boggs and her late husband Jimmy Boggs. When visiting the Boggs Centre with our list of questions for an interview with Grace, we were kind of caught off guard when she became the interviewer and me the interviewed. Through her questioning, I became aware of the shortcomings of starting out without a plan of where we're at in our own communities back home. "What is your revolution?" she asked. "Your history? Where are you at in Scotland?" she quizzed us. Don and myself just about managed to stumble through these questions. On the plane on the way home, this was just prior to the London riots, I was re-asking myself the same questions. Where are we at? Where is the planning that determines our activities and our organising, even just in my own city? And particularly in working class communities, what are our ambitions, hopes and dreams for a better world? Not only in the personal sense, but in the collective sense. Where is our modern day map of these ideas and principles that will help to guide us towards our goals and, more importantly, define what they are and what we want to do? So these are some of the questions that inspired the manifesto. Who is the manifesto for? Why has it been written? A manifesto is basically a declaration by a group of people of their intentions and principles, basically how they will go about things. So the People's Manifesto will become a declaration of intentions of those who helped to construct it and for those who agree with its principles. This manifesto is for the use of any community group or individuals who are looking to build a set of principles to help guide them towards a new civil society. We should take it as a given. We mean those at the grassroots end of society and those fighting not only the needless physical poverty but also the intellectual poverty that allows such disparities of wealth to exist in the first place. I think it's an imperative. If change is to be lasting, we need to work towards changing the structure of power at the top in order to protect social gains that are made at the bottom. Otherwise, we're always in danger that the powerful can roll back any progress we make, like they have been doing for the last 30 or 40 years. What do we replace that power with is a follow-up question to recognising its fraudulent nature and protesting for its removal. The manifesto is about, in order to change things together, it is useful to have a plan, a roadmap, some overarching aims that we all hold dear. Real change in society means making institutional change as well as cultural change. To protect cultural change, we need to challenge the top-down institutional power that controls it. To create this institutional change, we need mass movements. We need the collective strength of our communities and our individual endeavours under a banner of some aims we can agree upon. These aims do not have to be controversial. For instance, sensible housing, healthcare, education for all. These basic examples can relate to many of the underlying issues in our communities and encompass much of the work being done and also help to formulate what is needing to be done. Overarching aims can act as a focus for solidarity, organising and movement building. They needn't be set in stone and can be refined, adapted, discussed, changed as need be by consensual agreement of those involved. This manifesto is open source. Folk are welcome to edit, cut, tailor to their own needs. The following are examples of the kind of ethos that we've been encouraged in building our manifesto. We hope to encourage discussion to develop things from these basic ideas. So to quote Jimmy Boggs mentioned above, we will attempt to articulate a vision of revolutionary change in which people transform themselves into more socially and politically conscious citizens, where the entire society can be enriched by an expansion and deepening of human identity. So what do we need to think about? What will inform our manifesto? Looking at our history is a good way to start. Looking at past history is an important aspect of going forward, and also a place where we may find the roots to many of our present-day struggles. It can also help us to examine what worked and what didn't, and we can also examine helpful structures that may already be in place. For instance, the Roots of Scotland's Common Good Fund, which you can find out about in City Strolls and Scottish Commons websites. The Common Good at its roots started as a collective approach to security and farming by small groups of people and families, which began 500 years ago. And its accruing assets, laws and history should and could be an integral part of our town and country's civic life and planning. We could ask, why is the history of this public owned resource, our common good, not taught us at school? Common to all for the good of all, particularly in times of austerity cuts and asset stripping, which is nothing new really, as our public owned common good assets have been slipping into private hands for some years now. In history at school, we are usually taught to remember the Industrial Revolution rather than the Workers' Revolution, the crushing of autonomous work to the slavery of the machine rather than the struggle against it. These things like industrialisation and rationalisation of the workspace didn't just slip into being. A resistance to them had to be crushed. And the Luddite who smashed the machines was not anti-technology, but anti-human beings becoming part of the machine. The Luddite, like the digger, fought to maintain the dignity of work and the commons, not to step in the way of progress, in inverted commas. In the same vein, we can also learn at school to dignify the land grabbers of the Highland clearances who remain and have yet to be removed from common soil. Our history of progress abroad is no different. Part of white European history we are taught at school is a sanitised version of 600 years of murder and pillage. Our empires were industrial killing machines. That's what they did best, if history is anything to go by. Most of the history of this European brutalisation is suppressed, along with the history of the struggle against the murderers and colonisers, and the history of those working towards the ideals of a civilised society. Remembering the Scottish Enlightenment and the thinkers who recognised and warned of the consequences of the mechanisation of people, greed and the denial of creativity. This historical output of civilised thinking in contemporary society has been reduced to misquotes and the debasement of an epoch of Scottish history that laid the foundations of a real civil society, a society based in common sense that was and is denied by an elite who are still threatened by it. The Glasgow women who fought the rent strikes during World War I against the slum landlords while their men died in trenches fighting to increase the wealth of the industrialists. The young apprentices of the 30s Clyde shipyards who organised their own strike and won better wages and conditions. The hordes of young people in both the US and here who stopped the carnage in Vietnam, as well as what is happening all around the world today. It's through this kind of history we will find the inspiration for our manifesto and our revolution. But there also needs to be demands on ourselves. One thing we need to understand is we can't make change happen on our own. Another is it will not happen tomorrow. We need to make demands on ourselves by taking an active part, by finding our place in the movement for change as opposed to the movement's place in us. This is an important distinction. We can all see much that is wrong in the world and need to act, but if our activities are towards fundamental change rather than personal improvement and protest, these actions will need to be coordinated. We need to be aware of our common goals, our overarching aims that directs our activities. We need to become aware of others around us who are advancing towards the same ends in order that our work achieves its full potential. It's also important to understand, no matter how insignificant we believe our efforts to be, that they are part of a collective whole, knowing that others elsewhere are also working on painting little leaves and details that will eventually create the bigger picture. We also need to start with small, achievable aims that will create confidence, solidarity, to strengthen the social base of our communities, that will form the platform in which we will need to fight the bigger issues. It is this important work that creates sustainable, organised and determined mass movements. Protest is only the beginning. How we go about this can be varied and as complex as the tools we use. In the old days it was a bit less complex. There was the rich and us, and the idea was to get some of their money off of them to spread around a bit. Although the general concept hasn't changed, the field of play has changed dramatically, it's no longer simply about the redistribution of wealth, i.e. money and material things. Redistributing this kind of wealth still leaves us with the factories, the managerial hierarchies and pollution that is destroying the planet. The new society needs to be about doing without things. The new society needs to be built on personal growth rather than personal possessions. Happiness, it is worth remembering, is caused by a chemical reaction on the brain that creates a feeling of well-being. The challenge is we need to find less harmful ways to create this sensation of happiness that both fulfills more people and does less to damage our environment. To conclude this short intro, the process of educating ourselves to do this involves unlearning many of the default factors that maintain the status quo. What is the point if we start to take control of our own lives that we also start to repeat the same follies, structures, value systems as those we have taken control from? Our present education system is the education system of banks. We need to make it the education of people. So building our manifesto will also be part of that education process. If you're interested in anything talked about, ideas for topics or radio programmes, or you need some help or advice in making your own radio programme, contact or pop into Sunny Govan Radio or email bob at citystrolls.com. Bye for now. Just